If you geek out about that kind of stuff, this was an exciting new world as a patient. Dr. Google became both a blessing and a curse. A know-it-all resource, I absolutely am convinced I have that disease for patients, and I heard enough who's the real doctor here for doctors. I've been through at least four dentists in my life. The first dentist I had for about 30 years until he finally retired. It was well-deserved, and I was happy for him. But it brought up an important reflection point. When you find a doctor you love, one of the first selfish thoughts you have is that someday this person is going to retire and I'll have to find someone else. Perhaps this was my first flawed thought. Doctors aren't human, and because of that, they never get sick or need to rest themselves, right? The next three dentist changes all happened within a matter of maybe a year. I heard none of these young dentists owned the practice or could even think of owning it. But they owed someone, and lots, on their student loans. I would guess in the ballpark of $400K or more. Apparently, another out-of-state retired dentist had worked himself into the investor class of society, letting my childhood dentist cash out his practice and retire himself. I wondered if the revolving door of young dentists I was experiencing had anything to do with how they were starting out so deep in the hole after dental school, moving to where they could get the best pay, cheapest housing, and shortest commute. To a lesser degree, I felt I could relate. It took me and my wife 10 years to pay off our respective student loans. Our first apartment together was a loft in an old converted wool mill factory that once made blankets for Army soldiers during World War II. It was barely 400 square feet. We used to be able to reach the TV controls from our couch with our toes because our living room was that narrow. Changing the stations by toe is a fun game, if not a bit embarrassingly silly. I've only had two family doctors in my life, so a bit more stable than my Rolodex of dentists. My first family doctor was Linus Silver, MD. He was there when I was born by cesarean. He weighed me and scribbled it on a yellow legal pad. He once proudly showed me his handwritten record of it decades later. 6 pounds, 9 ounces. It was a small gesture, but touching, and it stuck with me. It felt personal. My mother told me this same family doctor would make her eat liver because her iron was low. Not her favorite dish, but you do what you have to do. I don't think prenatal vitamins were a thing back then. When I broke up with my first serious girlfriend in college, he prescribed some sleeping pills for a short time period. It helped me get through. Dr. Silver eventually retired from his practice and moved on to become the director of the town's urgent care. He reduced his hours but still got to practice medicine. He once told me his hours were in the mid to high 20s most weeks, and that was plenty enough. I later heard policy changes by hospital administrators kept happening, and he was displeased. When I attended his memorial service years later, I remembered some of these random things. His wife told those in attendance that he spent all day caring for others, but he often privately wondered who cared about him. The news of his passing was equally shocking and confusing. I was sitting in my hometown barber shop, uncertain chatter swirling around, how he had been in a motorcycle accident a few towns over. I knew he rode. While it sounded plausible, it felt abrupt and heartbreaking. Nevertheless, some doubts had formed in my mind and lingered. Dr. Silver was an experienced rider. He knew his way around dangerous machines that went blazingly fast. Beyond motorcycles, I recalled the pictures of him drag racing on the walls of his office. Wouldn't we have seen something this significant in the local papers? Among family and friends, we quietly debated what added up and what did not. Quite some time later, the truth was revealed, and it was ugly. He had died by suicide, and the manner in which it occurred was shocking. My naivety on display, I only knew the world of medicine to heal, not destroy, and never the healers themselves. Oh, what I would learn in time. How could the signs of burnout be missed? Why is always one of the first questions you ask, but to simply ask doesn't mean there's a simple answer. It was depressing and seemed wholly unnecessary. It is strange when someone you know passes, let alone tragically, even when you don't think you know them on a deeply personal level. All these little innocent interactions, seemingly forgotten, come flooding back. It's like your brain has been covertly tucking these moments away, till the finality of the situation shatters your ability to hide behind the noise of the day. What's left are only memory reels on center stage,